As the children's sermon indicated, we can look at a picture that can be seen in two different ways. Some of the kids saw a vase or a chalice or a candle holder, while others saw two faces looking toward one another. The picture itself never changed. What changed was the way that we look at it. And once both of those images have been pointed out, we can get our brain to sort of switch back and forth between them, and so that we sort of recognize that, in a sense, both of those images are there. This picture provides a helpful way for us to approach the first two short parables in today's gospel. In the parables, Jesus compares the kingdom of heaven to a treasure hidden in a field and to a merchant searching for fine pearls. Christians have long understood these parables in two ways. In one interpretation, we are the man and the merchant, while Christ and his kingdom are the treasure and the pearl. In the other, Christ is the man and the merchant, and we are the treasure and the pearl for which he gives everything. There is something to be learned from both ways of understanding these parables, so let's look at them from both directions, because together they paint a fuller picture of the gospel. So first, let's consider the more familiar interpretation. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then he goes in his joy and sells all that he has and buys that field." The man recognizes that the treasure is worth more than everything else that he owns. His selling all that he has is not a source of sorrow for him. He does it in all his joy, because everything else that he has seems so small by comparison. The merchant responds in much the same way. When he finds that one pearl of great value, he sells everything else and buys it. Under this first interpretation, the treasure and the pearl are Christ and his kingdom. To know Christ, to receive forgiveness, to belong to his kingdom, to inherit eternal life is far more worth than anything else we possess. Faith recognizes a value that our unbelieving world cannot see. To the world, baptism appears only to be water. The sermon is merely a man speaking from an old book. The Lord's Supper is like ordinary bread and wine. Jesus appears to be some teacher crucified long ago. The glory of heaven is hidden beneath ordinary, humble means, just as Christ's glory was hidden beneath the manger and the cross. Yet our faith hears his promise and recognizes the treasure here. Christ forgives sinners, adopts us as his children, feeds us with his body and blood, and gives to us eternal life. This interpretation asks a necessary question. What is the kingdom of heaven worth to us? Do we treat Christ as the treasure beyond price, or as just one possession among many? Do we receive God's word with joy, or only when it fits into our schedule? These parables expose the worldly treasures to which our hearts cling: money, comfort, reputation, control, our habits, and our plans. The truth is that we fail to recognize that there is nothing that we surrender for Christ that can compare to what we receive in him. Yet if this is the only way we read the parables, we may imagine that the kingdom of heaven depends upon the wisdom of our searching, our choices, or the greatness of our sacrifice. We become the heroes. We recognize the treasure and so choose correctly, giving up everything to obtain it. But what Scripture tells us is that we by nature do not seek God. We are not some sort of spiritual treasure hunters who wisely select Jesus. We are sinners who are lost. This salvation depended upon our finding Christ and paying the price. None of us could be saved. So that brings the second interpretation into view. What if Jesus is the man who finds the treasure and is the merchant searching for the pearl? Then the field is the world, and the treasure hidden within it is his redeemed people. The merchant is not you seeking for Christ. It is Jesus seeking you. The pearl is not something you purchase from God. It is the people whom Christ loves and redeems at the cost of everything that he has. This reading better fits into the pattern of Scripture that we know. Jesus says the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. He is the shepherd who searches for the wandering sheep, and the one who calls Zacchaeus from the tree, Matthew from the tax booth, and Lazarus from the tomb. Before we ever searched for him, he came searching for us. And when he found his treasure, he gave everything to possess it. St. Peter writes, "You were ransomed not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." Jesus purchased and redeemed the world with his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He took our sin as his own, endured our judgment, entered the grave on our behalf, and rose in victory. Scripture tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. The price was not paid by us to God. It was paid by Christ for us. But this does not mean that everyone will finally be saved regardless of their faith. The third parable, the parable of the net, guards us against this understanding. The net is cast into the sea and gathers fish of every kind. In the same way, the gospel is proclaimed to all people, and the church casts the net wherever Christ sends her, without deciding beforehand who is worthy to be gathered. At the close of the age, the angels will separate the evil from the righteous. Those who reject Christ remain under judgment, and those who are made righteous through faith are gathered into eternal life. It is true that Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and that God desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Yet his saving gift is received through faith, and some will reject it. The Savior who gave everything to redeem the world will also return as judge. His love is immeasurable, but his judgment is real. Hell is real. That is why the church's proclamation of Christ, your proclamation of Christ, is so urgent. So must we choose between these two interpretations? I don't think so, because there is so much to be learned from both. The first describes what faith sees when the Holy Spirit opens our eyes. Christ and his kingdom are worth more, way more, than everything else. The second explains why we can see it at all. Christ first sought us, found us, purchased us with his blood. We treasure Christ because he first treasured us. We seek him because he first sought us. We love because he first loved us. Whatever we give up in following him, our sacrifice never purchases the kingdom. The kingdom is his gracious gift to us. Together, these two interpretations keep law and gospel in their proper places. The first calls us to repent of treating temporally worldly things as our greatest treasure. And the second comforts us when our hearts wander after worldly treasures. Christ comes to us again in his word, returns us to the promise of our baptism, places into our mouths the price of our redemption, his body and blood given and shed for the forgiveness of our sins. At the end of these parables, Jesus asks his disciples, "Have you understood all these things?" That question is for us also. Have we understood that the kingdom of heaven is worth everything, yet we could never purchase it? Have we understood that Christ gave everything to purchase us? This treasure that we have is not meant to remain buried and unknown. We need to tell our children, our neighbors, anyone who will listen, that the treasure of the greatest value has been given to us, and the price has already been paid in full. So as we close, think once again about the picture from the children's sermon. But instead of seeing faces and the vase or the chalice or the candlestick holder, think about these parables. From one viewpoint, Christ is the treasure beyond price, and faith joyfully gives up everything that the world would keep us from him. And the other, you are the treasure that Christ sought and purchased with his life. The first view causes us to reconsider our earthly priorities. The second strips away our spiritual pride and fills us with his comfort. Both of these views direct our eyes to Jesus, the priceless treasure given to us, and the loving Savior who gave everything to make us his own. And to him be all glory, honor, and worship, now and forever. Amen.